Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Rugby.
If you've been there before, if you've felt that real pressure before, then you're less likely to be as intimidated by it. It's going to be intimidating, there's no doubt about that at all, but we believe this group are probably the best equipped to cope with that.
It did seem a million miles away there the last couple of years, but I feel I'm back to full fitness at the minute, so I'll always be available for my country, and who knows what will happen in the future.
TJ is a good mate of mine, I'm happy for him playing such good rugby. I suppose he's, I see it from a different perspective, not from as much as a supporter's perspective. We have different chats. He's been in Ireland now a long time, and he's really that stalwart at eight, as we've seen how many minutes he's actually played in the World Cup so far. So I think he's quite irreplaceable there for me.
Game on 2FM.
Hello and welcome to Game On with Marie and Donica. You've just heard some of what's on tonight's show. We've BJ Botha and Tomás O'Leary, who are looking ahead at the World Cup quarterfinals. Paul McShane is on about his new club Rochdale and his ambition to get back in the Irish team. And Shep is chatting US sport. You can get in touch by text on 51552 or Twitter at GameOn2FM. Marie, what's catching your eye in the world of sport at the moment?
Well, we love all the overachievers here in Game On, and we have another one. Pacey Japan winger Fukuoka. It's not a case of
what's
catch
his name?
Him. Fukuoka. We're very good at pronouncing names here on Game On as well.
That one's a fiery one, isn't it?
You have to be careful with that
you
one.
You do, yeah.
So it is not a case of catch him if you can, but catch him while you can, because Sunday's quarterfinal against South Africa may be the last game he plays for the Brave Blossoms, because at 27, he is going to go to medical school. So after being a hero at the World Cup, he's going to head off and become a doctor.
Look, we've had a few rugby players do it before. Jamie Roberts, Felipe Contepone. They've all studied while they're playing. I think it's a shame to lose him. He's been actually the player of the tournament, the guy that everyone's looked forward to seeing. I know he's going to play sevens in the Olympics, so he'll move to sevens, and it's amazing that his preparation is a Rugby World Cup in 15 to get ready, as opposed to Greg O'Shea, who's hanging around with Deiran in the morning.
Well, that's the standard now, Sevens, medicine, Rugby World Cups, do it all.
There you go. They do it all, those rugby lads.
So another one that I was interested in today as well was that East Kerry player Michael Foley had a big decision to make last week. He could have lined out for his club in a Kerry Senior Football Championship quarterfinal or appear on winning streak. I'm not going to tell you which he went for.
He went for...
Which would you have went for?
Winning streak every day of the week. Honestly, the club is great, but winning streak is the mecca, the big one. RT Whelan for the afternoon.
Well, he didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, the GAA loyalty shone through, and he is going to play the match, and his sister is going to represent him on winning streak.
No way. What percentage? Or did they fight that out?
Yeah, we'll have to find that out.
That's an ambition of mine, to be in the audience on winning streak, and not just thrown in there for the crack, but to actually have someone and have one of the banners, best of luck, Nana, or...
So your ambition is not to be on winning streak, just to be in the audience?
Well, but to be tied to someone so that you actually have to make a banner properly, and winning streak is priceless.
What
love
about
it.
The money? Would you not be wanting to go on for the money?
Yeah, of course you take the money, but it's better if the person gets the money and then they get all the letters going, gives a few quid, and then you can tap them yourself for that cup of tea every now and again.
So if anyone has plans to go on winning streak and they're looking for somebody to go in the audience and make it better, text 51552 and Donegan might join you.
My other ambition is to be, and I told you this earlier, is to be in, the photos with the greyhounds, when a greyhound wins a race, they put him on a podium and put a lovely little jacket on him, and all these people that no one really knows stand in behind him. That's where I want to get. I just want to be in one photo beside a greyhound with a cup.
I think that's more down or up Ruby's alley. Would you go into the winning horse picture?
No, that's not the same. It's the whole podium and the jacket on the dog. It's just ridiculous. I love it.
Okay, well, enough about you and winning streak. It's time to get on to rugby. And of course, Joe Smith named his team today, and we have Tomás O'Leary on the line. Tomás, strong team. I suppose it was kind of as expected. What were your thoughts?
Surprises from Joe Smith. he's reverted to, I suppose, tried and trusted, particularly, you know, the likes of Rob Kearney, who's performed so magnificently in recent games against New Zealand, and back, you know, in the back row with Peter O'Mahony, I suppose he was fantastic in the victory, you know, 18 months ago. So, yeah, no major surprises. Obviously, his hand was forced with the suspension of Aki in the centre, so I don't think he had too many decisions to make.
Just to give people an insight into Joe's team, he's gone with Keane Healy, Rory Best, Tyke Furlong, Ian Henderson, James Ryan, Peter O'Mahony, CJ Sandler at number 8, and Josh van der Fleer at the other wing forward. The wings are Jacob Stockdale and Keith Earls, with Rob Kearney at fullback, and Tomás mentioned that there, Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose pair up with the halfbacks of Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton. Before we go in and kind of divulge into it a little bit, Tomás, just the bench, obviously no Sean Cronin being out of it, but one that we chatted to BJ about earlier on was Porter getting the head nod ahead of John Ryan.
Yeah, look, it's a big call, I suppose. The more experienced front row practitioners would all allude that maybe John Ryan is a bit ahead in his scrummaging experience and ability of Porter, but I suppose the raw size of Porter seems to have got him the nod, and you know he's probably a little bit more of a ball carrier on the pitch. So look, I suppose Joe Schmidt and Craig Feek obviously would see them day in, day out, and they're obviously very confident that Porter, although he's relatively inexperienced for an international prop, that he can stand up to the rigours of a test against New Zealand in a quarter final. So, look, it's a big nod of approval for him, and it's going to be a big test if he does come on after 60 minutes when the game is in the melting pot. So, look, hopefully he goes well.
One of the big positives is that all of the 15 starters have beaten New Zealand in the past, and Michael Corcoran actually spoke to Rory Best about the confidence that the players are getting from their recent Tier 1 encounters.
Yeah, well, I think it's something that we probably can't underestimate.
Beating anyone in the world, and you know, we've said that, and I think to have now done that, you know, we've beaten over the last number of years, we've beaten probably all of the Tier 1 teams and certainly any ones that we've played. But ultimately, this is a World Cup, this is a quarter final, and this is a very different game than anything we've played against them. And they're also a team that you know that if they turn up and they play to the best of their ability, you're going to have to produce something very, very special to beat them. They're also a team that very rarely drops below a certain standard. So I think it's just a really exciting challenge for us to make sure that we're as good as we can be. And I think when we look at each other after the game, I think if we can say that was the best that we had to produce, I do think with this group of players that we'll be in a really, really good place.
Sorry, Tomás, I cut you off there to hear from Rory Best. But yeah, they've got so much experience heading into this encounter anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something that we can't underestimate, is that confidence that this Irish team will have. You know, two of the last three times, I think they've been victorious against them. And I suppose that element of doubt will inevitably, you know, come into the New Zealand minds if the game is in the melting pot, you know, 60, 70 minutes. They won't be so confident, you know, as New Zealand teams of the past may have been. And I suppose this Irish team is very settled, very experienced as well. And I suppose the same can't be said of the New Zealand team. You know, they've had a lot of decisions to make, you know, in around the centres. You know, their back three obviously isn't as experienced maybe as the Irish back three, obviously Beauden Barrett. But, you know, Sivu Rees, you know, he was due to sign with Connacht, you know, and he 18 months ago as well. So look, it's a big test for New Zealand too, but obviously the calibre of players they have, and you know, the hot favourites they are, you know, you would expect that, you know, they'll have the ability to really put Ireland under pressure.
Just on the selections, you said it at the start, it's very much a Joe Schmidt team. There are players knocking on the door, the likes of Jordan Larmour, Andrew Conway, you look at the centres, Chris Farrell. As a player, Tomás, when the coach backs you like that, when Joe Schmidt puts his faith in you, if you're those players, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, look, I think, like Rory Best mentioned it there, you know, how excited the team are by this challenge. And you know, it's probably the biggest, you know, ever game in Irish World Cup history, you know, playing the All Blacks, defending champions in a World Cup, and a chance to progress to the semi-final. So that excitement level is going to be there. I think, you know, it is great to see the likes of Carberry, Lamar on the bench. You know, even Ruddock has had a bit of form. He's on the bench, so there seems to be a genuine impact option coming off the bench. But, you know, you go through the whole team, and I suppose the clamour for maybe a change of 15, or like you mentioned, Farrell in centres maybe, or you know, for you know, Scannell maybe at two. You know, you look at Rob Kearney, you look at you know, like the Rory Best, and even the, you know, the talker in the selection around Peter O'Mahony. You know, these guys have been there and done that, and in the bigger games, these guys seem to come to the fore. So I think obviously Schmidt has put his fate in that fact, and you know, these players are big game players, so you know, they've proved it time and time again. So I think they're just going to be, you know, excited and I suppose looking to progress Ireland to a place that they've never been before.
And is that what we can expect? Can we expect like man of the match performances from the likes of Peter, Rob Kearney, Robbie Henshaw? Is that the level they have to reach now for Joe?
Yeah, look, I think this game, you know yourself, Dominic, it's going to be decided. You know, the pack is going to have a big say in it, and particularly set piece. So if our set piece can function and we can, I suppose, get that, you know, go forward ball, whether it's off the top or using our maul to put pressure on New Zealand and supply this backline that we have with a chance to put pressure on New Zealand, I do think we'll have an advantage in the centres if we can get enough clean set piece ball, and if we can get enough dominance or parity even in the pack. And when you go through the pack, you know, you'd be confident enough that we can do that. Look, I suppose obviously they've got the likes of Retallick and Whitelock in the second row, which is a very formidable second row partnership. But you know, Ian Henderson and James Ryan have been two of our probably better players too. And you know, the back row battle, you know, with I suppose Kieran Reid, Kane and Sevilla there, you know, whether we can come out on top there, I think that's going to go a long way towards whether we can win this game. And I think our ball carrying, we have to give a bit of support to CJ in that department.
Just, you mentioned their back row there, obviously Cody Taylor as well. It's hard to know which one of them is playing seven. He plays like a seven as well, as a hooker. Do you think Steve Hansen has picked this team to run us off the park? Will he have seen how we beat them the last two times and identify that they have to have a better mobile game, a multi-phase game?
Yeah, look, I think the Kiwis will always try and back their skill set to beat teams and to overcome teams. And you know, whether it's the, you know, the pace of play they're playing at, and how wide they are. And like you said, you know, Sevilla will often be on the wings and waiting for the ball to come to him, and you know, he's a very dangerous runner. Cody Taylor likewise. But I think they'll probably realise that, you know, in order to beat this Irish team, you have to physically match them and take them on. And I don't think you'll see New Zealand shying away from that. I think particularly, you know, the defeat, the last defeat will still rankle with them. And, you know, that will be seeping there for the last, you know, 12 months to build up to this World Cup, you know. So I think physically they'll be very confrontational, and I think they're going to meet fire with fire, and they're really going to, I suppose, embrace that physical challenge that Ireland bring. And I think any rugby game obviously is about that, you know, that contest, that, you know, at the breakdown and the tackle. So you'll see New Zealand really confront that, but definitely utilise space when they can to test this Irish defence.
Okay, let's hear from their head coach, Steve Hansen.
Through the competition, you earn respect from other people, and you, they earn yours, and you understand the trials and tribulations that they go through and the pressure they're under. So we get, you know, the odd opportunity to meet each other away from the battlefield. And, you know, they're like-minded people, aren't they? They're trying to improve a team that they're in charge of, and make the most of, you know, their time with those athletes. So we've caught up with the Irish guys plenty of times in Dublin, and you know, know Andy really well, and obviously know Joe well. Greg Feek's another one, he's in their team. So, and Simon used to be, you know through my time in Wales. So if you hang around long enough, you get to know most of them. So, but, you know, once we get down to the park and, you know, for 80 minutes, we'll go for it. And then afterwards, either way, you've just got to accept what's happened. That's what sport's about, isn't it? You know, it's called a test for a reason, and test your mental capacity and your physical capacity. Sport, like life, is not always fair. So sometimes you're going to get the rub of the green, sometimes you're not. But I think the measure of your character is how you deal with either one of those things when the game's over.
That was Steve Hansen there, the New Zealand coach. Donica, he said that New Zealand, Ireland all know each other fairly well. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think like what he's saying there is we're quite similar, and Tomás would have seen it over his time as well. Players that come into the Irish system seem to settle in very well. There's just, I know he's talking about respect, but the one I always go back to is Doug Howlett. He just comes in and he buys into an environment, and you know, they're from a small country as well, with a bit of a chip on their shoulder, agricultural kind of people as well, and you know, care about what they do. But I think that's as far as it'll stop with terms and Steve Henson's kind of respect for Ireland. I've no doubt, Tomás, I'd love your take on it, what he'll be saying to get them ready for this Saturday. Like, he knows that we're a threat now after beating them twice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the key, you know, and they'll target is obviously see their standard, make sure he doesn't get over the line, the gain line. Probably a bit too reliant on him in recent times, like I said, in terms of ball carrying. Definitely they'll put pressure on our halfbacks, and obviously our kind of game is generally dictated by Conor Murray and Sexton, and they won't want them to get you know, a lot of time to dictate, you know, the pace and tempo of the game, and obviously their kicking game, make sure they put that under pressure. That's an area that we've had success, you know, in recent years when we've gone to the air against them. You know, our wingers have come up or you know, knocked the ball back on our side. So I think that just that physical confrontation, like I said, they probably beat New Zealand up, Ireland beat New Zealand up in Dublin in our last victory, and that probably will kind of rankle with this New Zealand team. So I think it's just going to be a case of matching that, I suppose, physicality and structure that this Irish team does bring, and trying to, I suppose, create a more open game if possible, to let the broken field runners like Goodhue and Barrett and Rees into the game.
One thing that can be frustrating when you play or watch the All Blacks is their ability to give away cynical penalties at crucial times. And I watched back the game in Chicago when we won, and I saw breakdowns by Jordy Murphy and Donica Ryan. And I actually think in the new environment of refereeing, they could be red cards. You spoke about that physicality Ireland are going to have to bring. How important is Nigel Owens in all this?
Yeah, Nigel obviously is going to be key. And, you know, he's probably, you know, one of the better referees around out there, and in terms of sort of understanding the game and letting things flow. Obviously, look, if there is foul play, he'll deal with it, but he likes to let the game flow and kind of understands, I suppose, the spirit of the game as well. I know it's kind of you know, the laws of the game versus the spirit of the game, but he'd often reference that. And you know, if he sees something that isn't too cynical and is borderline, I think he likes to let things go. So, that the one worry then is, look, as you said, how willing New Zealand are to be cynical when they have to be. But I think most rugby teams, at the top teams anyway, most, I suppose, top teams in sport, are willing to sacrifice, whether it's take a yellow card or whatever, to give their team another chance to get settled and defend again and get back into structure. So, you know, if Nigel Owens and his team aren't, I suppose, refereeing the breakdown like they should be and letting stuff get away with, back rows in particular, get away with killing the ball and slowing the ball down, then obviously the defences will be on top. But, look, it's the same for both sides, so I'm sure there'll be no bias, or certainly no intentional bias at kind of leaving New Zealand away with more than to leave Ireland with. So, look, I don't think it's a worry. I think he's a great referee, and I think we'll have the best opportunity to see as open a game as possible. But obviously the confrontation nature of a quarter final might dictate that it's probably more structured than open.
Would you like to see him kind of go to his pocket straight away with yellow cards rather than just a frustration for me at the moment, Tomás, is people are losing, are showing bad behaviours and cleaning out breakdowns because, you know, they know this player is going to get away with it. So, like, if we're going to be hard on the player bringing the physicality, should we be really tough on the cynical player that's giving away the penalty that's leading to that?
Yeah, look, if it's definite and obvious cynical play, I'd like to see yellow card flash straight away. And I think, you know, most players would, most supporters would, most people, you know, involved in the game. I suppose if it's early on in the game, the danger is that a referee, it doesn't go to his pocket, but hopefully, IRB will be dictating to referees that, you know, World Rugby will be dictating to them that, you know, if it's cynical foul or dangerous foul, you have to go to your pocket. And, you know, no better experienced referee than Nigel Owens to do that. I know he does like to let the game flow, and he kind of likes to, I suppose, have that kind of understanding with players. But if it is a cynical foul, and it does kind of, I suppose, give an advantage to the defensive team, hopefully he'll penalise that with a yellow card.
Tomás, we've had a text in for you into 51552. Do you think we'll miss Devon Toner against New Zealand? He was immense at the Ruck last November. His ground game was brilliant too, line out Maul, etc.
Yeah, look, I suppose you will miss him in the line out. That is a definite area, you know, just his height and his ability to win the ball on himself is definitely, you know, it's a loss. You know, I referenced earlier, you know, the back row partnership though has been fantastic for us, and I don't think that Toner is brings anything superior than Henderson or Ryan around the pitch, whether it's in defence or attack or at the breakdown. But certainly in terms of line-out, you know, if we could afford to have him as an asset in the line-out, definitely it would be great to have him there. But obviously the coaches and you know, the team have weighed up, you know, the strengths and weaknesses and just dictate that Henderson and Ryan are far superior, maybe athletes and all around second rows than Toner. So unfortunately he's obviously going to be watching the game in Dublin, but certainly at line out time he'd be a lovely I suppose asset to have.
Just on that, just chatting about the second rows, you know, James Ryan obviously coming up against the two best second rows in the world in Brodie Retallick and Sam Whitelock. Just how important is this for him, Tomás, in terms of he's had big games against the likes of Cruz and Atoji and Alan Wynne-Jones and come out second best? You know better than anyone, to push on in rugby, you have to earn people's respect that you play against. This is a big game for James Ryan, isn't it?
Absolutely. Look, I suppose the first few years of his career really just were, you know, were his almost dreamland stuff, where, you know, he didn't lose a game for whatever 2-3 years, and you know obviously that couldn't continue. But like you said, you know, they're real experienced, you know, old school almost second row partnership. You know, physically impressive, obviously intellectually very, very capable of managing a line out and, you know, dominating line out. So yeah, this is going to be probably the biggest test that these two guys, certainly as a partnership, Henderson and Ryan, have come across. You know, Retallick and Whitelock, I suppose Retallick has limited enough game time, but obviously they're confident that, you know, his experience and his ability, that they have to go with him for this game. So look, you kind of obviously would have played against these two guys, and do you think that Henderson and Ryan have the ability to, I suppose, dominate them at line-out time?
It's just the combination I'd be more interested in, Tomás. I think that this kind of All Blacks one, they've played with each other a little bit more. I think the two lads are still finding their feet. Even small things like them saying that they're sharing the line-out calling, I don't like that. I like someone to take control of it. But I do know he's certainly, especially when it comes to James, he's certainly capable of being at their level, and I think it's a big game for him.
No, absolutely, and I suppose look, Peter O'Mahony is there as well, you know, as an option to, you know, to assist and helping with the line-outs that are going a bit awry and take over there. But yeah, I'd agree, you know, when, you know, obviously Paulie was there, whoever, you knew he was the boss man and he was calling the line-out, and, you know, if he went off, you know, there was a plan whoever's going to take over. But I suppose you like that, I suppose, definite nature when you come together in a huddle and, you know, your line-out caller dictates what's going to happen. There's no ifs or buts. So yeah, I think that's probably a good point, and something probably I hadn't thought about as much.
You were never too worried about the front five anyway, Tomás. Listen, thanks a million for joining us. We've more with BJ Botha after seven, but we'll just take a quick break.
Game on.
On 2FM. Weekdays from 6.